Balreview.com, подкаст номер 7. Сегодня необычный формат подкаста. Мы предлагаем вашему вниманию интервью с президентом компании Sony Ericsson Майлсом Флинтом во время его посещения в Москву, а именно сегодня, 15 мая 2006 года. Майлс любезно согласился поделиться с нами своими мыслями о рынке России, о положении компании Sony Ericsson в мире, о тех инициативах, которые компания предлагает нам, потребителям и рынку в целом. Интервью достаточно интересное, но оно англоязычное. Имейте это в виду. Это порядка 30 минут живой речи нашего разговора с Майлсом. Отдельное спасибо Майлсу за столь подробные ответы на все вопросы. Чуть позднее мы, безусловно, опубликуем материал на основании этого интервью. Пока же предлагаем прослушать живую речь. Она достаточно интересна.
I've been several times before. It's not my first time. It's my first time with Sony Ericsson. It's first time in kind of mobile handset business, but I was here before with Sony a number of times.
As far as I know...
Sure, it's just going to stay on at the moment. Because it has to be right up high.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think about co-branding which Sony Ericsson placed on some products nowadays? For instance, its sub-brands like Walkman phones, like CyberShot, and maybe in future it will be more brands which used by Sony Ericsson from Sony as parent company. It's successful on the market, in Europe, in US maybe, and what do you think about future of such cooperation between your companies?
I think first thing is that the co-branding came at the end of a thinking process, not at the beginning of a thinking process. So we said to ourselves, what is it that would constitute a really good mobile music phone? Mm-hmm. What is it that constitutes a really good mobile camera phone? And in the case of music, we said it had to have good storage, it had to have good battery life, it had to have flight mode, it had to be bundled with headsets, with storage, to make it a really credible music player. Then we approached Sony to use the Walkman logo. Same with cameras, that 3.2 megapixel autofocus, real flash, number of other features that really justify using CyberShot. And then we talk about adding CyberShot to it. So I think it would be a great mistake to take just another brand and put it on a mobile phone. It has to, just for the sake of it, it really has to speak very, very clearly to the quality and the credibility of that phone as a proposition. So I think it's very clear with music, it's very clear with camera. I think it's not so clear in some other categories, and it's an area we're continuing to evolve our thinking. But I don't think you should assume automatically that we have forever and ever more and more Sony sub-brands. I think there are other areas of the market. If you look at probably one of the biggest growth areas, it's the whole area of mobile internet, mobile broadband. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be a huge enabling platform for many different sorts of applications. And we have a tie-up with Google in terms of imaging and blogging. So it's there are a number of different ways we can approach it. The real crucial issue to us is to try and make a really clear statement to the consumer about what this device does in addition to being a phone. And part of our philosophy is always that we must not compromise the form factor of the phone. So we will not make a really big, bulky games device that's not a very good phone. It has to be and we had huge discussion internally about the keyboard on this device. How do you make a QWERTY keyboard whilst maintaining the form factor of a phone? It has to work as a phone first. So that's very much part of our philosophy.
If we're talking about popular fields like broadband, like internet, like cooperation with Google or other companies, we do not mention playing experience, because nowadays Sony have a very successful PlayStation brand, and we have experience from Sony Ericsson and Ericsson in the past with more fun gaming platform, and also nowadays Sony Ericsson are trying to introduce some gaming experience on own products. It could be W900 with 3D accelerator, etc., etc. What do you think about possibility to use of PlayStation brand with Sony Ericsson phones?
We have no plans to do that. As you correctly observe, we have many Java-enabled games on our phones, and we have W600 was a product that was modified so that the keys were in the right place. But we generally don't comment on products before they're announced. But you should not assume there's a Sony Ericsson PlayStation product just around the corner. That's not imminent.
That is a plan for
the time being.
For the time being. Okay. If we're talking about co-branding, I have to mention Da Vinci Code, because this film was the first one with mass product placement from Sony Ericsson. In the future, it will be more movies from Sony Pictures with product placement from Sony Ericsson.
No, there's been a number of movies where we've had product placement in the movies before Da Vinci Code. I think Da Vinci Code is kind of Sony's big movie of the year, and I think it's drawing a lot of attention. And I'm sure it's going to be hugely successful. But no, we have been working with Sony on product placement for quite some time. That process sometimes takes a little bit of time. You know, it's our product design cycle and the movie production cycle means that sometimes those commitments have to be made a long time before the movie is actually released. But this is not a new phenomenon with Da Vinci Code. I think what is new a little bit is that Howard Strenger, who's taken over as chairman and CEO of Sony, is encouraging much, much more cross-working across the different divisions of Sony. So we're seeing, you know, hardware and content and all these things coming together maybe a little bit more as part of Sony's core strategy than was the case before. But we've been working on films and on music for quite some time.
But Sony Ericsson never produced a limited edition for some event like Da Vinci Code edition Z530 phone. It wasn't before.
Well, we have had in North America, we did some stuff around Star Wars with Singular, which had modified clip-on covers. We did quite a lot with Spider-Man, so we've had Spider-Man variants of Sony Ericsson phones in the past. So it's not completely new at all. As I say, I think it's coming together in a more concentrated fashion and maybe with more visibility. But actually, it's a continuation of a trend that started a little while ago.
What do you think about different markets? Which markets are most important for Sony Ericsson nowadays, worldwide? It could be Europe, it could be CIS countries, Japanese market.
Well, we are a global player, and that's very important to us that we should be a global player. We're not in CDMA, so sometimes people say, well, you're a global player, but what do you not do? Well, we do not do CDMA outside of Japan. We work with KDDI on CDMA. And that was a decision taken 2 or 3 years ago to exit CDMA business, which I think was correct. We're not in the ultra low end of the market, in the really sub $40 categories, because it's, I think, very difficult to be profitable there. And given that we were formed 4.5 years ago and were losing money, we have made recovery and stabilization of profitability a bigger priority than achievement of market share for its own sake. Now, within that geographical breakdown, there were a number of things in the early days of the joint venture that we could not do. We decided, in I guess it was 2002, 2003, not to participate in FOMA with Docomo. Now, as we've become more profitable, we've been able to revisit that, and we now have a FOMA phone shipping in Japan. Which is proving very, very successful. It's one of the smallest FOMA phones that's been in the market to date. Brazil is quite a difficult market. For tariff reasons, you have to manufacture in Brazil, and that was something that, again, a couple of years ago we decided that we couldn't do. Well, we're now back in Brazil, and our business is taking off very, very rapidly there. So I think the big growing markets, Brazil, Russia, India, China, that's a very strong area for us. Our overall East European and Middle East and Africa business that Klaus Svensson over there is responsible for is one of our big growth areas. But we ask our regions to be a little bit competitive with each other. So, you know, we're always trying to challenge them from the headquarters in London. How can you perform faster than perhaps can you perform faster than your colleague in Asia Pacific? So, you know, and then part of our role is to support that where we see the growth opportunities, to support that. So we try and break it down market by market, and is this an attractive market for us? Is this not such an attractive market for us? Then go for that.
You mentioned BRIC countries, and in the past 2 years, a lot of representatives from Sony Ericsson mentioned that Russia and these countries is very important for company. It's including in top five markets for company, free markets, non-operator markets. And on one hand, we have a lot of votes from Sony Ericsson. On the other hand, we do not see any efforts to build strong brand image, strong company inside the Russia, because Sony Ericsson as global player do not invest any money in Russian market or these countries market, because frankly speaking, it's only words, because every year people are coming to Russia saying that this market is growing, every year deliver some products, but on the other hand we could clearly see that grey market only for Sony Ericsson is much higher than for any other players in high segment, because with K750 it was at least 50% market, grey market for this product, and it was a huge shortage for Sony Ericsson deliveries on the market. It's strange because people and distribution companies do not understand such politics on the market. Why are Sony Ericsson behaving in such way?
Well, I think, firstly, I think, if I may say so, I don't think your analysis is correct. We are a small company in this industry compared to others. We are quite focused in where we apply our marketing expenditure and our public visibility and campaigns. But Russia has been growing, so our sales in Russia have been growing sensationally strong. So we're growing very, very strong business here. You highlight the K750. That was a product that was in globally a huge over-demand situation.
Mm-hmm.
We were a little bit cautious in Cannes, in 3GSM, in early 2005. The operator reaction to that product was a little bit cautious, a little bit hesitant. They weren't convinced about 2 megapixel. They weren't convinced about the price point. We maintained that and we stuck with that, but maybe we were a little bit cautious with our forecasting. And then when we introduced the product May, June last year, demand just went through the roof. Now, I've had kind of the same question that you're asking from a number of different parts of the world. Why is there so much grey product? I don't believe there was so much grey product, because that product was in demand everywhere. We used to have the same issue in Sony in Europe. If a product is a hit product and it's in short supply, then there's a little bit of a tendency to amplify. You know, there's a lot of grey product around. There wasn't a lot of grey product around. There was a shortage of product everywhere.
But actually, just mention, we have a lot of grey products if we're talking about K750 on this market. And situation is worse, even worse than I think about this problem, because we have products from Hungary. It was operator version of this product. It was fulfilled whole market, and on one white phone from Sony Ericsson was around 3 phones from gray market if we are talking about these models. And pricing on Russian market wasn't lower for even for 1 year after start of sales. It was strange situation, and nowadays we have similar situation, because if we're talking about Sony Ericsson products, we have a lot of grey import for this product. I want to ask about pricing strategy. As far as I know, for 6 countries and for Russian market, we have different price list from Sony Ericsson. And if in Russia some phone, for instance, cost around 100 euro for six countries, it could be around 85 euro, and it's a huge difference for market when the margin around 3 or 5% only, and people are buying from some other countries taking goods inside the country. And this is the main problem. Because grey market phones, you do not receive any guarantee from Sony Ericsson, you not receive any support from Sony Ericsson, and people disbelieve because when they have some problems, they couldn't achieve any help, any support from Sony Ericsson side. What do you think about it?
Well, I come back to my point. Mm-hmm. When you have a hot product, it needs very, very small, especially a hot, low volume product. I mean, low cubic capacity, mm-hmm. but I don't mean low sales volume. But a high value, low cubic capacity product, people will exploit very, very small price differentials. So we're pretty rigorous or pretty consistent in maintaining the same price levels, but if you have exchange rate changes or you have mm-hmm. inventory, then it does move. Don't mind the words, I don't like it, but it's something that as a manufacturer we're not and we shouldn't be able to control because it's you get into legal difficulties. We try and maintain consistent pricing and product and those sometimes into places that you're not wanting to go. That happens.
Thank you. And I want to ask about smartphone products because Sony Ericsson was one of the pioneers on this market, and due to problem with lens capacity, you know, produced a lot of smartphones in previous year. And nowadays, Sony Ericsson show several products, and it states that it won't be any problems with capacity, but it's only UE products for European and US market. But also, Sony Ericsson few months ago show Series 60 products for Japanese market. Do you have any plans to produce Series 60?
We don't have Series 60 phones in Japan.
No.
The FOMO Docomo, Docomo FOMO products use a different UI, which is called... Look it up or I'll come back to you before we can. So we basically got three UIs in the single environment. There's the FOMA, the Docomo UI, the Series 60 and the CIQ. In Japan, to support Docomo, you have to use the Japanese UI, Docomo UI, and the rest of the world use CIQ, but we don't have any, we've never shown a Series 60 UI.
Okay. And if we're talking about bestseller from Sony Ericsson, TSM50 was iconic product for photography. What do you think about next generation of this phone like K800, K790 phones? It will be iconic products in this field or will be more strong competition in the market nowadays?
I think this year what we're really focusing on, certainly in the middle of the year, is three hero products. There is the WR10, is the derivative of WR10. That's the K800, K790, which I don't have this one. And then this, which is a similar UIQ smartphone product, which is running with Blackwood Connect, just setting the Vista or any other Fushima platform. That is really a new form factor in the enterprise oriented market. Later in the year, this will probably give way a little bit to the W950, which is the 4GB phone with this same sort of form factor. So really the kind of our feeling about the iconic products this year is next generation walkman, next generation camera phone, and next generation enterprise and business oriented devices.
The Swedish company, I believe that you are competitive on this market if we're talking about enterprise solution, maybe walkman solution like high-end W950 products and this one.
I'm very reluctant to talk about our competitors, but I much prefer to talk about Sony Ericsson. And what we're trying to do is to make the most attractive and innovative handsets, to try and bring applications, multimedia to the phone, to try and differentiate the phone with that capability. It always has to be a phone. First, and don't compromise that. And that's what we want to build our reputation on. I think that's a very strong position in the market. I think we are becoming the leader in music. I think we are amongst the very strongest in cameras. In enterprise, there are a couple of big players who are very big in the enterprise space. But enterprise has many different segments. And sometimes people talk about enterprise leadership only in terms of big multinational companies. Mm-hmm. There are many other aspects of enterprise that are small and medium enterprise. I think it's very, very rich segment for us. And if you look at our P910 product, that's used by many, many people who are really, really passionate about that product, who are running small businesses, who are running some sports stars we know who use that product, who they're booking their own travel. Since they're running their own business, at the same time they're competing on sports circuits worldwide. So there's a small and medium enterprise and owner-operator segment where I think we're very strong and where you don't need to have some of the kind of big multinational type connections that some of them have.
This year or next year, it will be, for instance, if it has the great success with 3KO products, could be return situation with shortage of deliveries, because in the past with Ericsson it was a big headache that you have a huge demand from the market but you couldn't fulfill this demand. Nowadays, do you have enough lens capacity to produce enough phones, big phones or maybe ordinary working phones, etc., etc.?
Well, we'll know better by the end of the year, but what I can tell you is that yes, we did last year have some problems. We were a bit surprised by the sudden demand that we got in May, June, July last year. We did significantly increase our production capacity over and above our initial plans, but it was still short of the total volume. Through last winter, we spent a lot of time working on how we can avoid that problem. We are, I don't want to go into the details here, but we are approaching this year's peak selling season with a number of different things in place compared to what we had last year, which we think will make it a significantly better performance. But we wait and see what the overall demand in the market is. We're seeing people talking about the market maybe being 1,000 million units this year, which I still can't believe it for today. I think if that really happens, many companies are going to have difficulty to supply because of this big total capacity in the industry. But we have put in place a number of new measures to try and be more flexible and more responsive to market demand compared to last year. So we won't see that. I'm confident we have an improved situation.
We are talking about big smartphone selling devices from Sony Ericsson. I'm planning to take a big market share on this market because nowadays Nokia is market leader with around 85% of all smartphones delivered on the market. What will be the plan for Sony Ericsson? Because from Nokia side, they step by step move from ordinary phones only to smartphones platform. And they invest a lot of money, a lot of fair efforts to promote these decisions in the market. In the past, for Sony Ericsson, it was a big mistake, in my opinion, that you not include edge in phones because people are waiting this technology. They are not using edge as technology. They hear from Nokia side, from that edge, it's a good, it's a up-to-the-edge technology, and they trying to receive this up-to-date phone, all technologies plus edge. Could it be the smartphones market because nowadays it's more aggressive advertisement promotion from Nokia side?
Well, the question you asked really goes back to kind of technical platform, and we did have a little bit of an issue with edge in 2005, but we have full edge capability now. This is an edge device, 790 is an edge device, so we don't, what we're doing with the UIQ based products is going straight to 3G. So our three UIQ products that we've announced this year are all 3G based. And there's not been a plan to do those in the edge. GPRS, Edge, 3GPRS, 4GPRS, and that kind of stuff.
And the last one, question.
I think Nokia were looking at third with Edge and some other manufacturers, so they promoted it hard as a different source. So that's,
It's 15,000, but if we're talking about smartphones, it's totally the same case because they aggressive promote smartphones. People do not know, for instance, do I need smartphone capabilities or not? They're just trying, and when they're trying, they're buying mostly Nokia phones because they have more products which are smartphones. And when you went to shop and asking about smartphones, in most cases, we need Nokia smartphone. It's the case and it's a problem in my opinion. Because no one except Nokia and Sony Ericsson produce smartphones on heavily nowadays, up-to-date smartphones. Windows Mobile, it's a good approach to the market, but it will be popular in 1 to 2 years. HTC products, for instance, it's pretty popular, but volumes is much lower than Nokia or even Sony Ericsson.
So we are continuing to develop our URQ range. So we've introduced more this year than we did last year, and we're continuing. We have had limited resources in Sony Ericsson compared to others. So we didn't introduce the first one as much. We withdrew for that in Docomo because we didn't have resources. What we've been doing since we've become profitable, the last two and a half years. Is to invest back and more and more into the things that happen to us over time.
Over time, the proprietary operating systems have become more and more competitive because of, to some extent, the existence of Symbian and Microsoft, but we're very strongly committed to UIQ and are continuing to invest significantly in that platform.
And what about low-end products? Because for Sony Ericsson it was very strange. Middle-tier and high-tier products more popular than low-end products on some markets. If we're talking about Russian markets, it was clearly seen for several years that low-end products popular only due to pricing. Not by brand image, not by brand communication with end customer and users, but only price. Do you think that this year, end of this year and next year, you could change this situation and produce, show some products which will be interesting enough for end customers without other products like low-end solution?
Well, we'll continue to invest in the mid-high tier. Sometimes people, when we talk about going to entry products, say, does this mean you're leaving the mid and high tier to do more entry? And the answer to all that is no. We're investing more and more in product portfolio. We're investing more and more in mid and high tier. But really the challenge for us has been twofold. One has been operators saying to us, if you want to participate as one of our strategic suppliers, this is less an issue in the retail markets, but if you want to participate with us as one of our long-term suppliers, you need to have a total portfolio. So if you look at somewhere like Latin America, which is a very much an operator-dominated market, you had to have low-end product to be part of that, you know, limited number of handset suppliers in the portfolio. That's one. The other one is that, you know, we did put profitability before market share, and if we want to grow market share, which we do, then we have to find a way of competing in the entry areas of the market. But we're not going to do that in a crazy, unprofitable fashion. So we're looking at it partly as a portfolio play and partly as how can we bring a difference? How do we bring something different, the same way as we have mid and high tier to the low end? And it's difficult to find exactly what that is. But we're watching that, we're looking at that, we're studying that very carefully. But it's not dissimilar to car manufacturers, it's not dissimilar. I don't want to talk about luxury brands, but I want to talk about high-end, quality-oriented products. You can see in other sectors, there's often a struggle to find the right platform to take BMW. People talk about BMW 1 Series, but it still costs 3 times the price of a Skoda or whatever type car. So finding the right platform, finding the right brand association to take you into the lower levels of the market. It's not simple. It's not simple. That's what we're progressively doing, but not, you know, the priority for us is brand credibility and profitability before market share. And I think we always say to ourselves that if we just followed market share for its own sake, we would do the wrong things. We would throw away some of the Sony heritage and some of the Ericsson heritage. And then if you start to lose your differentiators and your points of difference, and frankly, if you start competing head to head with number one and number two in this industry without a very strong proposition, you know, that you're going to suffer. So it's all about how do we continue to bring something different.
But on the other hand, Samsung, because they not produce in past very technical products full of features. They produce only design products and was first in clamshell design, maybe slider phone design. And nowadays they have a very good market share in Europe, in Russia as well, because they invest money just in advertisement, with communication with end user, and in design. In terms of features, they're not so strong as other players, but this scheme of work is working on the market too, and I'm not sure that heritage from Sony or from Ericsson is so good that people are keen about it. People are keen about maybe only design, only products, and about price, of course, proposition, and maybe some kind of loyalty to brand. But on the other hand, we could see on Russian market that loyalty to Samsung brand is very low. It's around zero. People just buying new up-to-date products, that's all. Thank you for a very interesting interview, and could you set something for our readers? Maybe wishes?
Well, I just would like to wish every success to your readers. I understand you have a very influential website. You're one of the leading commentators and authorities on the market in Russia. I've really enjoyed talking to you. Sometimes you have many, many interviews where the question's always the same. You've asked me some very different questions today, and that's always fun and enjoyable. So thank you.
Thank you. Cool.